For this week in our world tour, we are in Germany and Austria. We have beers from breweries like McQueen, Franziskaner, Schlenkerla, and Schneider in Sonn. Beer Coaster Chris is stuck in the UK. He's drinking Brewdog with Three Floyds and Courage. Yeah, hope you enjoy the show. Prost!
Let's crack it.
I am straight, craftus, erectus, right now.
Oh, don't drink that beer. That's for the bugs. Here, have this wine.
I'm quite a few ounces into the show right now.
Welcome to the Beer Coaster.
Guten Tag, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast 2012, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in not only American craft beer, but beers from coast to coast and everywhere around the globe.
That's right, we're going global.
I'm Toby from Las Vegas, Nevada, and joining me this week is...
Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
And Chris in Dallas, Texas. That's right, baby.
Whoa, Chris is back in the house.
Although I'm a little stuck.
Yeah.
Oh, funny you brought that up. yeah, Chris apparently never made it through customs.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So that's why he wasn't in their UK show last week. But he's going to do his UK beers this week, if that's okay with our listeners.
Ooh,
but
yeah.
We won't know for another couple weeks whether it's okay for our listeners.
Anyway.
And customs says it's okay now, that's right. So that's what's important.
All right, cool. So yeah, this is our world tour. Next stop, we are now in Germany with a little sneak over to Austria.
Yes, I'm going to escape to Austria.
So.
Yes.
Chris, stuck in the UK, he'll be drinking some different beers. Now, what will you be drinking on this week's show, Chris?
I'm going to start in jolly old Scotland with the Three Floyds and Brewdog collaboration on Bitch Please.
Oh, snap.
And then...
you do the finger
and
snap.
Then, yeah. And then I'm going to be trying the... Imperial Russian Stout from the UK brewery Courage.
Oh.
It's actually Wells and Young.
Right, right.
You might know them from Young's Double Chocolate Stout.
Oh, for sure.
You might know me in such films as
yeah.
Young's Chocolate Stout and Courage, Russian Imperial right. Stout.
And what will you be trying this week, Mike?
Oh, In Germany, I'm going to try the Franziskaner and their Hefeweiss Dunkel.
Nice.
And then I'm going to flee to Austria for a Scottish ale, of all things. I'm trying.
So you're fleeing and you're going to your bunker?
I'm going to try McQueen's Nessie. That's right. A Scottish ale. In Austria.
And I will be trying the Echt Schlenkerla Eich Oak Smoke. As well as the G. Schneider and Son Aventinus. Oh.
If we don't get backwash on that, he's...
This is the Beer Coasters World Tour! Woo-hoo!
So this beer is a collaboration between Brewdog out of Scotland and Three Floyds Brewery out of Munster, Indiana. The website is brewdog.com, where you can find the information on this, which isn't a whole lot. ABV on this beer is an 11.5%. This is a barley wine. Yeah, both of mine are rather high this week. This is... A collaborative brew, like I mentioned, that is from Three Floyds and Brewdog. They had three of the guys from Three Floyds visited Brewdog in August of 2010 to brew this beer. It says it's an inherently Scottish spin on a barley wine brewed with peat malts from Islay, shortbread, toffee, and eclectic hops. After fermentation, the beer was aged in old Jura single malt whiskey barrels for 8 months.
Damn.
Oh.
So
that's a lot of aging. Yeah.
A lot of aging.
I'm cracking it. Hawk. Glug, glug, bitches, please. All right, so the head is substantial. So I'm trying to get it all in there.
My brew dog last week was, there was like virtually no head on it.
This one, I poured fairly aggressively, so it can be excused. Got a good thickness, a copper brown in color, fairly dark, about standard for a barley wine, though. Nice, full, thick head on the nose. Some good toffee notes in there. Not getting a lot of the dark fruit that you would expect from a good barley wine. Quite a bit of alcohol.
A big, like, whiskey kind of aroma to it?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Whiskey. A little bit of that peatiness in there. There's a little bit of oakiness in it. I don't know that oak is what's used for whiskey barrels, but...
Yeah, pretty much. Most of the barrels, whether it's, whiskey, rum, all that stuff, yeah. Bourbon, it's all usually oak. Oak casks, unless it's some dogfish head, some Palo Santo crazy ass wood. I think that's the technical term. Taking a sip,
yeah. Right off the bat, smoke and peat, like really strong, maybe a little too strong. It tastes very earthy. Yeah, this is very interesting. Very earthy. Woody, peaty, something else,
whiskey.
Actually, a little scotchy, like a little charcoal.
Brewdog is Scottish.
Like, you know how you get from a good scotch, you'll get a little bit of that charcoal in there.
Sounds like Beer Coaster Charlie would like this one.
Yeah, but it's not. It's definitely not very. There's not a whole lot of bite to it for being 11.5%. The alcohol isn't that strong. Like, you know how a lot of times you'll drink a beer that's like really heavy in alcohol and you'll sort of get it right in your nose. Like, mm-hmm. The minute you drink it, it's like, yeah, right there. I'm not getting that much here, which is surprising. It's actually, it's fairly drinkable for an 11.5%.
Well, with a brewery like BrewDog, with some of the ABVs that they have, they're probably masters at this point of making high ABV drinkable.
Well, I'm thinking with how most of their beers are, I think 11.5% is probably a low alcohol beer for them.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you, when I first drank it, it kind of took me aback because of the overwhelming peat and charcoalness to it. But as I drink it and get sort of accustomed to those more astringent flavors, it's really nice. It's like I said, really drinkable. It's got a nice fruity sort of middle and a pretty dry finish. A little bit of pear, maybe. It's tasty, though. Yeah, that's the Bitch Please from Three Floyds and BrewDog. Aged in whiskey cask. What would I pair with this? Barbecue ribs. Like a really good, with like a really good apple-y sauce. Barbecue sauce. I think that. Yeah. And then the ratings. Ratings. Gotta do that. You guys still do those?
Yep. Even though they're all numbers now.
I know. Which I didn't know until I started researching today, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute. So, Rate Beer, 91 out of 100. And Beer Advocate Users give it an 81, and nothing from the Alstrom Brothers. Yeah, 81 is good.
That's good.
It's good.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Guten Tag.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're in Germany. And this is Mike from Boston in Germany. I'm going to try Franziskaner Hefeweiss Dunkel. This is from Spaten Franziskaner Brau out of Munich, Germany.
Nice.
Is that correct?
It's good.
And their website is franziskaner.com. It is Franziskaner
com. Not dot.
They've D-E. Been. I really hope that Radlo listens to this, so just so he'll like cringe through the whole episode.
Yeah, I did. I told him on because he said on Facebook he's actually going to be in Germany in like 3 days. So I said, "Hey, what? We're actually doing our world tour, and we'll be in Germany, so we're there in spirit, you know." So this brewery, it has been brewing since 1397.
Whoa,
not too shabby. This beer in particular is 5.0%. As Beer Coaster Chris,
they've been brewing since before our continent was even discovered by the Western world.
So I'm going crack it. I don't know how you That's say insane. Crack it in German.
So they better know what they're doing, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's not like they haven't had enough time to figure it out.
Right, exactly. Few test batches here and there.
Ooh, as soon as I crack it open, I smell banana. Like an overripe kind of banana.
Good sign with a Hefeweizen.
Mm-hmm.
This is the darker side of wheat. So, it is copper color, really. Copperish with some gold. It's, not quite clear. There's kind of some haziness in there. Got about a pinky finger of head. I didn't pour that aggressively because I was worried about, you know, monster head. I know a lot of the wheat beers and stuff can tend to go that direction. Like I said, on the nose, you get like an overripe banana, like a banana puree, like a baby food banana. And some lemon. I do the Crazy Dave sniff, though.
No, please don't.
Too late. I'm getting some of the cloves, like clove and those type of spices coming through.
All pretty standard Hefeweizen notes.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of textbook kind of, you know, Dunkelweizen, I guess it'd be called, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that little bit of the toffee and caramel in there too. Taking a sip,
yeah. It looks from looking at it that it's got a little bit tighter head than I would assume.
Yeah, it's not as big and fluffy.
Yeah,
it's
which is unusual.
Very tight little bubbles. Got quite a bit of carbonation. For flavors, I'm getting just a tiny bit of tart banana bread. Like there's just a tiny tinge of tartness in there, but there's a lot of banana and clove, and a little bit of nuttiness, maybe like an almond or something. It's very drinkable. This is
like
it's actually very
Saturday afternoon in the summer.
Well, I mean, this could be summer, or I mean, at the end of summer, even when it starts to cool down a little bit. It's got a little bit of richness in there as far as, you know, the spices and stuff go that makes it feel like a little bit, you know, cooler weather beer. It's tough. It's almost like this was kind of, okay, here's a Dunkelweizen and here's all the things it's supposed to taste like. And this is kind of a textbook version of that. There's nothing out of the ordinary that I can say about it, but everything that's supposed to be there is there.
Pretty solid.
Yeah. When I'm going to pair this with something, I may kind of sound like an odd pairing, but I'm thinking the cheeseburger.
Wow, that works.
Just the drinkability of it, and it's got that little bit of caramel, toffee, banana. I don't know. I think a cheeseburger would go pretty well with this.
On a pretzel bun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Now we're talking.
With the sausages, the caramelized and onions. The caramelized onions, and the what else is on that thing?
Oh, the bratzel.
Yeah,
yeah.
That thing is the bomb.
Rate Beer rates this 87 out of 100 and 95 out of 100 to style, which I thought was interesting. The Beer Advocate users rate this an 86, and the Ahlstrom brothers have weighed in on this one with an 83.
Wait, seems right. Like from what you said, though, I mean, 95 to style sounds pretty right on, because you said it's pretty textbook.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that it's, well, we'll talk about it in last call, but if you get a chance, check this one out. Pretty widely available in the States as well as here in Germany. The Franziskaner Hefeweiss Dunkel.
We're going to get backwashed from Germany and say it. We've never even heard of that beer before.
We never even heard of this brewery.
It's the Fosters of Germany.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Gemini Lounge. A chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okay, so this is Toby. I am here in Germany. I am going to be drinking the Aventinus from G. Schneider and Son.
D. Schneider?
G. Schneider.
Oh, we're not gonna take it.
Schneider, not Snyder. Kelheim, Schneider. Germany.
Schneider!
Neinwindig Schneider! they're from Kelheim, Germany. This is a Weizen Doppelbock. So it's actually Germany's original wheat Doppelbock.
Wheat.
Whoa.
Comes in at 8.2% ABV. I have a 500 milliliter bottle. So suck that, Crazy Dave.
I have on the website there. I don't know what that's called.
Oh, I guess they have a brewery in Munich as well.
Did yeah, I miss something? Don't you remember, Toby? We passed it on the way.
Oh, right. I'm going ahead and crack it. They're also part of the... Who is it? Somebody else they brew under. The G. Schneider and Son is part of...
Reinheitsgebot Alliance.
The Schneider Weiss. It's so like the Schneider Weiss is the big popular line of beers that they have. So it's... Pouring out a little darker than I expected. Slightly darker than I expected, I guess. I got a nice fat head on there. Got about three fingers or a couple of Yeti fingers. Big bubbles. It's dissipating at a medium pace. It's copper in color. Leaning more towards the brown with some kind almost pinkish highlights. The head color is an off-white. I'll pour a little bit more in here now that I got some room. So on the nose, bready, biscuity, a little bit of that banana and clove, a little bit. Oh yeah, now it's starting to come through.
Now see, that head looks more like a Hefeweizen head to me than than Mike's did.
Right, yeah, big bubbles.
Yeah, it has that one aroma that I always pick up on, and sometimes in the taste in a lot of the German wheat beers is that root beer. It's like this certain spice that comes through. To me, I always get this weird root beer flavor and aroma. So I'm getting that a little bit in this one. But yeah, it smells sweet, very sweet. Even might be some brown sugar in there.
Take
Yeah, get that little bit of that root beer flavor. Banana. It's thicker than your typical Hefeweizen, a little bit thicker. Because I know the typical German Hefeweizens can be pretty thick. This seems to be a little bit thicker.
If Germans like it thick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is supposed to be a like a wheat bock, right?
A Weizenbock, but it's considered a Weizen Doppelbock.
Mm.
So a little bit higher in the ABV. So 8.2. Hmm. Yeah, very like biscuity and clovey. You can kind of get a little bit of the warming, but yeah, not bad. Gives you a little bit of that numbing sensation on the tongue. Hopefully it's not because it's too cold. I don't think it's too cold.
That's what we strive for every show, is the numbing sensation at the end.
Yeah. Food pairing, I got to go with the German, with the pretzel. Pretzel and mustard, I think, would go great with this. Mm. And that's it. This is a good... I mean, this isn't really a chugger. It's very sweet, yeah. But...
It's good pub
get some
beer.
Spicy mustard in there.
Spicy mustard.
Oh, quick interesting note about this beer. They've been brewing this one, the Aventinus, since 1907. Rate Beer gave this a 100.
Dang.
Beer Advocate users came in with a 96. The Brothers with a 98. Oh,
dang.
And you can find more info about the Schneider and Sons and the Schneider Weiss line of beers at schneider-weiss.de. S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R-W-E-I-S-S.de. Danke.
Danke.
Prost.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
All right. I'm back. Again. Bitches. No please this time, just going right into it.
Oh.
So for my second beer of the evening, I am still stuck in the great UK. My second beer, I am going to be trying the Courage Russian Imperial Stout. This is from Wells & Young Brewery out of Bedford, UK. You can reach them at wellsandyoungs.co.uk. This is a Russian Imperial Stout. ABV of 10%. I don't have much information on the ingredients. It says that it contains malted barley, though. So
well, that's a good start.
There's that. This was is brewed as originally brewed in 1795 for Catherine the Great of Russia. So
wow, this is like sounds like the OG Imperial Russian Stout to me.
Well, let's crack this bitch and get it on.
Oh, it is Imperial. Oh, yeah. I was just looking.
Oh, yeah. It's Imperial.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's got some head on it. I'm just inexperienced with the pour lately, but it's using my double bastard glass. Thought I'd get all this in there in one pour, as it's only a 275 milliliter bottle. Kind of tiny. So it pours very dark. It's black. Can't see through it. Some brown notes around the edges. The head is a nice dark brown, nice and fluffy. Oh yeah, that nose is coffee, some dark fruits, maybe a little bit of anise or black licorice. Maybe not so much anise, because anise tends to get sort of that spice to it. It's more of like the true black licorice.
True black.
Well, you know how like maybe not true black licorice, but you know how black licorice can
true black, true strong.
Like anise has sort of that spice to it, but black licorice doesn't.
Yeah,
true that.
What kind of glass are you using there?
It is. I don't know what this kind of glass is called. It's the double black, the double bastard glass. It's
like a mini goblet or something.
It's a wee little glass.
Yeah.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Oh, this is good. Lots of coffee, bitter coffee notes right on the front. A little bit of sweetness. Lots of coffee. And toffee. Very caramely. This is a big one.
That's what she said.
All the time. about the beer.
What would you pair with this?
Catherine.
Big beer Catherine in a little great. Glass.
Why are you all...
Catherine said, whoa, that's a big one.
It's imperial in size.
That's why she's great.
That's right. Okay, now we've just gone on too long with that.
Oh, that's why they call her Catherine the Great. Oh.
So, yeah, chocolate, coffee, toffee, lots of good, you know, traditional imperial Russian stout notes. Very, very dry finish. Oh, it's a tasty sumbitch. If I was going to pair this with something, this is pretty aggressive, so it would be hard to pair this with something. The thing that keeps popping into my mind is like a really good cheesecake.
Can't go wrong with cheesecake.
Yeah, I think that's where I would end up with this, just because of the coffee and the toffee notes in it, I think would pair well with a cheesecake.
It's right a strong on.
So, let's see. Ratings. Rate beer, 96 out of 100. Beer Advocate users give this a 93, and the Alstrom Brothers give it a 99.
Wow. That's like one of the best Alstrom Brothers ratings I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I remember when I bought this, the guy said that this is considered one of the best Russian Imperial Stouts out there. So,
wow.
Impressive.
It is. It's tasty.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada, with happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. With a wide variety of hard-to-find craft beer on draft and bottle. Special tappings every month. Don't forget to stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft coupon. That's right, Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, Eastside, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
So, I decided to escape to Austria and try a little beer that is a Scottish ale, of all things. So I'm an American in Austria drinking a Scottish ale.
Whoa. I've heard that that the hills are alive there.
This is McQueen's Nessie. I couldn't even begin to really pronounce the brewery. It's Brauerei Schloss Eggenberg, I guess.
That sounds good.
And this is from Wurzdorf, Austria. And their website is schloss-eggenberg.at/en.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, like you're ever gonna go search that. But if this may, at least for some of our American listeners, they may have seen this brewery before. They're the ones who brew the Sammy Claus. If you've ever seen that beer.
Oh yeah.
And they've been brewing since 1681. This.
Oh, the Sammy Claus, dude. That one's pretty hardcore. Yeah.
Been around for a little while. The ABV on this is 5.0%, another low one. Sorry.
Damn you, Mike.
This one was kind of interesting because it was made with the Scottish Highland whiskey malt, and they had it mature for 2 months before they bottled it.
It's good because we all know if it's not Scottish,
it's crap.
That's right.
Right. Don't let them tell you any different either. So I'm going to crack it. So we're in
in Austria, shouldn't we be talking like Arnold?
Yeah. Like Arnold.
It's crystal clear. No. Okay, I'm going to pour it. Got my dogfish head glass here. I'm going to have to pour a little more aggressively. Lots of carbonation.
Cool website.
Is that your dogfish head glass?
Yes.
Or your dogfish head glass?
Dogfish head glass. I got it's kind of golden color, very cloudy golden color. I got about half a pinky worth of head.
That's the dogfish as big as my head glass. That thing's huge.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking that. You could probably put a whole photo in there.
The dogfish logo on the bottom, it's like etched in the bottom, so it helps with the carbonation. Nice. It's pretty cool.
Science, man.
Science.
It's
crazy, man.
It's weird.
Well, it smells kind of funky.
Funky bad?
Or funky bunch.
It has a
bit of a...
Funky bad or like funky George Clinton good? Funky good.
It's got kind of a lager-esque aroma.
It's awesome.
There's some... caramel. It's kind of a perfume kind of smell to it. It kind of, yeah, kind of little flowery, little caramel and a little flowers.
Not like, I mean, it's not skunky, is it?
A wee bit.
That's one of the difficulties with us getting imported beers is that you run a high risk.
Yeah,
beer doesn't skunky. Travel well. That's why we always talk about drinking local,
especially. When you're drinking low ABV beers, like what you have.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of these ones that, like the ones that I'm trying to find that are different and not something you see every day, how long has that been sitting on the shelf after however long it took to get here?
Right.
Taking a sip,
Doesn't taste skunky.
That's good.
Got kind of a buttery smokiness. Yeah, like a toffee, like a smoked toffee. Kind of odd. But it's a very, very light smoke. Little hop bitterness at the end. Not much. Pretty mellow. Really drinkable. Got a tiny bit of an ESB quality to it.
Is it like a smokiness or roastiness?
No, it's like a tinge of smoke. Like, it's not like... There's no malt character that gives you like a good roasted. There's a little tiny bit of caramel and toffee in there, but nothing to give kind of a roasted character at all.
So let me get this straight. You're an American in Austria drinking a Scottish beer that tastes like an English beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Well, that just blew my mind.
It's kind of thin, so there's not much. It's not getting too complex here. There's a little bit of toffee and tiny, just kind of a touch of smoke. It almost has that tiny bit of butter quality that, you know, like the Anderson Valley has, but just, you know, like on a really small scale.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of thin, very, like super drinkable. I mean, you could drink this stuff all night. It's, you know, and it's got decent flavor, but it's very thin. The mouthfeel is, it's a little, I want to say it's thin mouthfeel wise, but it's got that little bit of creaminess in there. It's giving that kind of buttery, creamy something in there too. I just smelled it. I got kind of like a toast, just, you know, toasted bread. It's different. Man, when I pair with this, this actually has a pretzel type quality to the taste of it. So,
well, wait a minute. No, I think you need to pair it with something like French or Spanish because you're an American in Austria.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Drinking it. How about something with couscous?
No, definitely not.
A good curry.
It's funny that you say that. I was thinking like a very kind of buttery, maybe like a tikka masala or something, you know, kind of a buttery curry would go pretty good with this. Or maybe korma. We'll do that. We'll do a chicken korma curry. It's you guys get a chance, check it out. It's interesting to say the least. I don't know if I mentioned it, but they've been brewing. I said they've been brewing since 1681, but on the bottle here it says 1148. So,
no, that was in the morning.
Oh, 1148 in the morning. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's actually time. Yeah, time as in years. So, yeah. Check it out. It's different. I'll give it that. It's McQueen's Nessie, and it's a whiskey malt red beer from Austria.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okay, I am back, still here in Germany. This
We're
time
going to drink
I'm drinking
some beer in
I'm
Germany.
Drinking the Echt Schlenkerla Eich Oak Smoke. So this is from Schlenkerla.
Seriously.
Schlenkerla Brewing
there.
Company out of Bamberg, Germany. They've been brewing since 1405. So almost as old as one of Mike's breweries. This is a Doppelbock. I'm not a big fan of the Doppelbocks, and I know my last beer was a Doppelbock Wheat. So I thought, hey, I give it a shot. This brewery is basically the OG Rausch beer brewers. Like I think they even came up with the style,
the oak smoke,
back in the day. So, yeah. So all their beers are somehow smoked beers. If you wanted to check out Rausch
somehow,
beers,
but like they magically appear, they smoke what? Them. No.
Yeah. Yeah, not like out of a cloud of smoke. I think the Beer Jargon guy talked about Rausch beer. If you go back to our smoky issue, which was way back in August of 2009, which I can't believe it was that long ago. The smoky issue, I think that's when we did Rausch beers on the show. So anyway, this is the Doppelbock Oak Smoke. Comes in at 8% ABV, 40 IBUs. Yes, I read this in German off their website. No, actually, they had it in English too. So. Whoa, watch out.
Google Translate.
Okay.
pretty light in color. It's a golden yellow, like more like a golden orange color. Yeah, very orange. A little bit of carbonation going on. Not much head. I got about a half finger. Fairly cloudy. Whoa. Oh, dude. Smoky. Oh, man. So it's been a while since I've had a smoked beer. I think, what was it? The Rogue Smoke Ale or Smoke? I think it's called the Smoke Ale is the one that I did on the show. And that was like smoky. This
is like smoky.
It smells like smoked beef jerky.
Nice.
Yeah, it has a beef jerky smell to it. It actually smells really good. like some like applewood smoked bacon type smell.
Bacon beer, so on.
What was that that beer that Summers had that made him want eggs and pancakes,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, he said the beer tastes like bacon, I think. He
said it tastes like maple bacon or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, this smells like maple bacon. All right, I'm going to take a sip. Okay, my head is pretty much dissipated.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Sip it the down show, now. That smoke show is coming back to me now. I did the Fireside from Weyerbacher. Remember, that was pretty smoky, too.
Wow. Oh, man.
Smoky.
This is smoky.
Like sipping through a charred straw.
It pretty much tastes exactly like it smells. A little bit of sweetness in there. There's a little bit of this like candied sugar sweetness. Really get a lot of that smoke. Woody, beef jerky kind of flavors. Almost like not as strong as a what's that sauce? That sauce you put on steak?
Worcestershire.
Worcestershire, yeah. Worcestershire sauce. It's almost like that, but wow.
So is it, because Worcestershire has sort of a vinegary tinge to it?
No, it just kind of, it makes me think of that. It's not so much that it really tastes like it. It's more of like, it just makes me think that I need to maybe put some in it or something. You know? But yeah, there's definitely like an interesting, like.
Maybe you need to add salt and pepper to taste.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like this cured meat smokiness. I can even smell it on my breath as I'm talking. I can smell the smokiness.
Gina's going to love that.
It's just very interesting. Very interesting. I can't believe that this is like, it kind of blows me away that this is a popular beer. You know what I mean? Like, they've been doing this for a long time. They've been smoking the beers like this for a long time. And you never find, I like when I was in Germany before this trip, I don't remember drinking beers like this. You know, everything was lager or wheat beers or, you know, Hefeweizens and stuff like that. But this is pretty, very different. For ingredients, let me see what I got here. 100% Schlenkerla oak smoke malts. I think they traditionally use beech wood, but in this one they use it's kilned with an oak wood, obviously the oak smoke, but
so not beechwood aged.
No, that's not beechwood aged.
That's good.
This is a holiday offering from them. What? For a food pairing.
And what holiday is that? Bacon Day.
Yes, International Bacon Day over there in Bavaria. Actually, are they from Bavaria?
Bavarian.
I don't know where Bamberg, Germany is. Food pairing. I might have to go with some waffles, dude.
Nice.
Like, seriously, this might actually go well with some really buttery, syrupy waffles. Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with that.
It's butter-flavored syrup.
Great Beer gave this a 99. Beer Advocate users with a 92. Nothing from the bros. Check out their website, schlenkerla.de, schlenkerla.de. See what else they're smoking.
Crystal Ballin says,
he said in Austria, the lifeguards drink beer on the clock, and everybody wrestles Crocs. LMAO.
Tweet of the week,
time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coaster's email and hotline.
Time for some Bavarian backwash.
Huh? So, for backwash this week, we got a couple from Crazy Dave, a couple from a new guy. So, Mike, why don't you take the first one from Crazy Dave?
So, Crazy Dave comes in via backwashed, and the subject is new bill passed and in effect. AB 1014, authorized by Assemblyman Nathan Fletcher, exempts brewers from California retail food code requirements and allows for craft beer makers to open tasting rooms if food is not served.
I didn't realize they didn't have that already.
Yeah, I thought that like Green Flash, they have a tasting room.
Stone, for the longest time, had a tasting room.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wonder if this has anything to do with any of the other retail places. Like, remember they were going to do beer tastings at the grocery stores and that kind of thing?
Because this maybe that's what it is. It's because it's the California retail food code. Because
it does
code.
Say craft beer makers to open tasting rooms. So, Yeah, I'm a little curious to find out a little bit more about this.
Yeah, we didn't do any homework on this. We're just reading.
None at all.
We're just reading the message.
Backwash and
post. We're just like, it's Crazy Dave, whatever.
But we'll have to check that out. Maybe we'll have that in one of our Hot Topic segments. Dig into that a little deeper.
Yep. All right. So the next thing that also comes from Crazy Dave, he just says, so much for friendly craft breweries. And then he links to an article that talks about a a lawsuit going on between the Boston Beer Company and Anchor Brewing. And it's a pretty straightforward lawsuit. It's a non-competition.
One of the brewers like jumped ship or something, right?
Yeah. The article is...
He wasn't even a brewer, though.
Well, the article's vague. It doesn't really say who... It doesn't say who the guy was. It just says that employee of Boston Beer left and then went to work for Anchor. And so Boston Beer is suing, saying, you signed a thing that says you wouldn't go work for another brewery for a year after you left us. So
right.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure how I feel about that whole thing. I mean, you, on the one hand, it's like, how much damage can he do? But on the other hand, it's like, dude, you knew that when you signed the damn contract. You know, right. if you're gonna enter into the contract and sign it, then you should be held to it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff going on the internet because this has been going on for a while, and I've seen a lot of stuff about people are upset with Jim Cook over there at Boston Beer Company, Sam Adams. Oh, you know, it's such a dick move and all this stuff. Why are they suing this guy and blah, 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 all this stuff? And I'm like, well. It's just like any other contract. You sign a thing. It says you're not supposed to do this. You go ahead and go do it. Anchor is like defending the guy, saying, "Oh, he's such a great guy. We don't see anything wrong with him. That's why we hired him."
It's not that uncommon. No. You know, for
well, and for, you know,
it's, you know, a lot of different industries.
It's there for a reason. You know, if he's and I. I seem to remember the guy was involved with, I think that he was involved with distribution somehow, maybe. But, I mean, he's got inside knowledge into how Boston Beer's distribution arm works, you know, right. If that's indeed what he was.
Anything
but inside Boston. I mean, he can take that knowledge and then apply it to the new job that he's doing for a leg up for the competition. And that's the reason that he signed that contract in the first place is so that he couldn't do that. So... I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. We got another piece. We got a new backwash, right, Toby?
Yeah, this one is from Tommy Z. He posted it on our Facebook. He sent us a message via Facebook. He said, "Hey BC, I just did a quickie video rant on my YouTube channel calling out Coors to the mat, basically referring to them as the world's most insulting beer. I'm just fed up with their inane ads and bogus claims interrupting my Sunday football. Felt it was time for a public smackdown. Since you're my Facebook friend and real honest-to-goodness beer people, I just thought you'd get a kick out of it. Share if you see fit and let me know what you think. Love to hear back from you. Take care, Tommy Z." So we put a little link here to his YouTube rant about Coors. Even if you go to YouTube and just look up Tommy Z, he's the social Cro-Mag, I think is what he calls himself. Kind of goes off on certain things here and there. So, yeah, just thought I'd give him a little shout out.
He just talks about, you know, how Coors, and this is a big problem I've had with them for a long time, how they constantly promote how cold their beer is. Yeah. You know, how they have it. A can.
They can't talk about the quality of the beer, you know? None of them can. That's always been the problem. They've been brilliant marketing companies because they don't, you know, they haven't talked about improving their formula, so to speak, you know? Or they're always talking about everything but the, you know, the flavor profile of the beer or, you know, the quality of it. It's always something ridiculous. Like
it's always some sort of
cold can thing, yeah. or these people are absolutely will do anything to get this beer, and they really portray the beer drinkers on their ads as the dumbest people on the planet, which is I mean, if I were drinking their beer, I'd be insulted by their ads. You know, I'm not because I don't drink their beer, but I mean,
it's like, look, we've developed a new bottle that makes the beer spin as it comes out of the bottle.
Yeah. And people really? Go for the gimmick.
That's what you're putting your money into? That's what your research and development dollars are going towards, is to make your can turn blue and to get your beer to spin as it comes out of the bottle? Mm. How about you go into the actual ingredients and the recipes and figure out how to make your beer taste better?
Yeah.
Rather than making us...
Well, they don't... They don't want it to taste better because they want it to be able to be drank in mass quantities by college kids all around the country. And
flavor profile to be as small as possible to appeal to as many. Because it doesn't taste
none.
It really doesn't taste like much at all, you know? And that's kind of what they're going for. And that's what they're going for, then fine. But, I mean, they're right. They're more of a marketing company. You know, Coors, AB, all the big brewers, they're, you know, brilliant marketing people, but they're not craft brewers, you know?
They're like the, what is it, the vitamin water? Like, they're like the vitamin water of beer. Where it's basically water just with a slight beer flavor.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a quick shout out to Tony, or actually Katie over at Beer 411. She did a write-up recently about people that get on their New Year's resolution and they're dieting, so they cut out beer. And she put in some good points where craft beer versus, you know, the big three type beer, how... Mm. You can still drink the beer, you know, because it's all like you drink more of the other stuff because you want to catch a buzz and whatever, and you're taking on all these calories, but you have to drink more of it.
Rice and whatnot,
Yeah, but then when you go to a craft beer, you don't have to drink as much, and you're still getting like the same amount of calories, but you're getting more flavor, and you're getting more alcohol, and you're getting more of this and that. So anyway, it was a cool little write-up at beer411.blogspot.com. I'm gonna throw that in there.
Alright, everybody. Last call.
I don't know. Last call. That's what I was trying to say.
Right.
Pint ratings. Chris, hit me up.
Alright. Hitting you up. Alright, so for my first beer, the collaboration from Three Floyds and Brewdog, the Bitch Please.
You have to say it like
you
that.
Have to.
Everything.
I really, really liked this beer. I liked the it. At first, it was a little jarring how peaty it is.
This isn't the dog from the Little Rascals.
Quickly acclimated to that, and then it's very drinkable, especially for a barley wine. I really like this beer a lot, and I think I'm gonna go with. I'm teetering right there, man. I feel weird.
Just go with a 2.
Because I'm like right at, I think I'm going to go with a 4.5.
Wow.
So I think the first initial shock is the only thing that's holding me back just a little bit. That, because I don't do the show that often, I feel weird giving beers 5s. So,
feel weird?
Yeah.
It's like I think, like your brown nose.
I think the last show that I was on, I gave 5s to everything. The other beer that I tried.
It's 5, dude.
Yeah. The other beer that I tried was the Russian Imperial
Stout.
Wait.
What's your one word for the Bitch Please?
Charcoal.
Charcoal. All right.
For the Russian Imperial Stout.
I think you should have said thank you.
Thank you.
Bitch Please.
Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Courage Russian Imperial Stout. I am going to give this a.
If you fill 5 pints, do you give it 5 pints? Does the beer make you Craftus Erectus?
Yes. Yeah, I think I'm gonna go.
He says it all like, yes.
I feel like I'm in confessional. I think I'm gonna go with
Coaster Confessions.
Oh, a new segment. Mike, he was being a dick, so you know, I was like. The beer was not 5 pints. I don't know what.
That's it.
Drink 2 celebrations.
It's a 5-piner.
And a double bastard.
Nice.
I'm giving it 5.
Wow.
Nice. It's really tasty. It's a really good Russian Imperial Stout. It's next to the Old Rasputin. It's right up there with it. So
nice.
Good stuff. For one word, coffee.
Oh. Coffee?
See, I always coffee. Use 2 words. You just blend them together as one.
All right. Hi, Mike, what about you?
So, for my Francis Connor Hefeweiss Dunkel, this one's a tough one for me. There's really no way for me to not rate it by style. And
yeah.
It's kind of textbook style. There's really nothing that sets it apart. Like, if you're going to do a base of this the Dunkelweizen. This is it. So for that, I have to give it a 5.
Wow.
Just because it's kind of it's like a template, for this style. You know, there's nothing that kind of screams out, something different or an interesting twist or anything. But it's, it's hard not to still give it a 5 because it kind of is perfect in that style.
Yeah, you really can't find anything wrong with it.
No, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's actually everything it's supposed to be. Yeah. So it's, for one word, I guess, model, because it's the model style, model beer for this one.
Nice.
For the McQueen's Nessie, this one was a little out of the ordinary, a little strange. Very drinkable, thin, some buttery, toffee, smoky, but everything was very light. I'm going to give it a 3. It's very drinkable, but it's just way too thin. And the aroma, when that first off, had that just tiny hint of the skunkiness, which I'm not going to discount because it may not be the freshest bottle that I got. Per one word,
Malak.
Monster.
Inverness.
There you go.
Margarine.
Margarine, like the.
Because it's not as. Because it wasn't as good as butter.
Trademark? Margarine? How do you even spell that?
I can't believe it's not butter.
I can't believe it's not butter! Okay, for.
How about you, Toby? Let's get some pint ratings.
For me, for the G. Schneider and Son Aventinus, this one was. This one's pretty good. I was digging it. It's, it was sweet, a little bit thick. It had a little bit of the alcohol warming going on. It was typical Hefeweizen, but with some more breadiness and fruitiness to it. Very, very German to me. I am going to go 4 pints on that one. I liked it. I would definitely get it again. For a one word...
We're not going to take it. Oh, I guess that's more than one word, huh?
Twisted Sipper.
I'm going to say 99. Is that one word? No.
9 Mittelstein.
I'm going to say banana bread.
One word. 9 Mittelstein.
I'm going to say banana bread.
Well, they already have that beer.
Yeah. That was a different brewery. That was Chris's brewery. For the Schlenkerla Eich Oak Smoke, this one is strange, but yet intriguing at the same time.
It's like some of the women I met while I was in Austria. Yeah.
It's nuts, dude. It's like smoky and beef jerky. It's nuts. And I wouldn't sit here and pound.
Also, like some of the women he met in Austria.
I was trying not to say that.
She tastes like cigarettes. I was actually I like it in the fact that it's like crazy. Every time I take a sip, I'm like, man, this is crazy because it's like smoky,
Smoking.
I'm gonna go with just because for the sheer. Craziness of it, I'm going to go 3.5. Because I think people should check it out. I'm like, if you've never had a beer like this, check it out, because I think you'll just be like, Gina thought it was disgusting. But I think if Gina had a few more sips of it, and she kind of, let that first wave of, let her palate settle into the beer, I think that she would be, wow, this is actually pretty interesting and different and whatever. But, yeah, at first sip, at first whiff, you're just like... Get that shit away from me. But
Gina don't like bacon?
Yeah. Gina, you don't like bacon? What the heck? And she likes beef jerky too.
Austrian women too.
You'd think that she'd be like, yeah, give me that.
This is the greatest beer ever.
It reminds you of what?
I'm pretty sure that was a spot on Gina.
Oh, that's right. She said it tasted like liquid smoke, so she thought it was an artificial flavor, so... That's what it was. I don't think so. I believe the Schlenkerla folks over there that this is all natural smokeness, and To me, it doesn't really
taste
like
the Schlenkerlis.
Yeah. So my one word is jerky.
Jerky beer.
Jerky beer.
All right.
So that is it for our ratings for this week here in Germany and a little bit of Austria. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Untappd, and Google Plus. You can also subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, and we're also available at callisto.fm.
And you can also listen to the podcast on the website at beercoasterspodcast.com, and also check out the shop link where you can pick up all of your cool beer coaster swag. Shirts, stickers, steins, stickers, things. Don't forget to check out Toby's brews paper. If you click on the brews paper link on the website and check out all the cool beer-related news, stories, videos, etc.
And tell your friends. And tell your friends' friends. Thanks for listening. We really, really, really do appreciate all of our listeners.
Don't forget to support your local brewery,
Brewpaws.
Support your local brewery, brewpubs, beer bars, etc. Drink local here in Germany because local's fresh.
And don't drink and drive because that's just dumb.
This is dumb. Shout outs. Who's got shout outs?
I got a shout out. I wanted to give a shout out to BB Barfly on Twitter. He gave us a shout out saying to listen to our show and, you know, check out our podcast. So cheers to BB Barfly.
And their Switchblade bottle openers. Those things are dope.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we have them listed on our website.
I think that we have a link to them on our website. Yeah.
Those are cool.
We got to get a hold of some of those.
BB Barfly, if you're listening to the show, send us some Switchblade bottle openers. We'll totally use them on the show, dude.
Yeah, dude.
I want to give a shout out to Crazy Dave. Thanks for the backwash. Tommy Z.
Yeah.
Thanks for ranting about Coors.
We rant from time to time about Coors and AB and stuff, too.
If you want to send us some backwash, like Crazy Dave did, send it to backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com, or you can even drunk dial us. Haven't gotten a drunk dial in a long time. We'd love to hear from you. 339-225-9274 or 339-BACKWASH without the C. And a reminder to all of our listeners.
This is your show.
We're just drinking in it.
Cheers! Prost!
Nine mit Steins.
Next week, where are we going to be? We don't know. Somewhere in Europe.
You never know. Could take a wrong turn.
Take a wrong turn and end up in Turkey. I don't even know if there are Turkish beers. I don't know. Maybe Belgium. Maybe Sweden. We'll see.
I'm thinking probably Belgium. But, right. I don't know. We'll have to check our schedule.
What would be a European vacation without Belgium? All right, see you next week. Cheers. Prost.
Cheers.
Germans like it thick.
See what else they're smoking.
Oh, it's a tasty sumbitch.
Man, this is crazy because it's like smoky, you know?